Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. Excuse me. Soda of the podcast. What did we go with tonight? Well, once again, this came from you guys. I had a couple of you reach out to me saying, Jack, you have not lived until you have had one of Jones's cream sodas. So went ahead and got one, and I gotta say, guys, not my favorite. I'm not gonna lie. I actually enjoyed the smell of it a little bit better than the taste of it. I appreciate you guys reaching out and giving me a recommendation, something to try out. But yeah, we tried at the beginning of February. Excuse me. We did the what was it? The mini donut cream soda from Liftbridge Soda Company, and especially not being a cream soda fan, I was pleasantly surprised by that one. But once again, with not being much of a cream soda fan and mentioning that at the beginning of February with that other one, you know, I took your guys' words honestly. I figured after saying that and letting you guys know I'm not typically into cream soda, I figured this was going to blow my socks off. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It tastes a little flat. I think the cane sugar in this one for me just kind of takes out the flavoring. I don't know, guys. Maybe I got a bad batch. Or maybe it's just not the one for me. But hey, once again, I appreciate the recommendations. Keep them coming. Yeah, I gotta say, as far as drinks are concerned, or even sodas, this unfortunately has to be one of my least favorite. We've talked about this on the podcast too. Not a huge fan of wasting things, unless it's just god awful, which this isn't god awful. But it's not great. It's pretty bad. I'm still going to go ahead and drink it and finish it for you guys here. So, yeah. So like I said, with that, Jones Soda, you can find them at jonessoda.com. Go check them out. You can shop a bunch of different, stuff they have. They got variety packs, 12 packs. They have, carbonation. They have some Jones caffeine drinks, Jones candy. They got gear, new items, My Jones stuff. You can create your own things. And truthfully, there's so much stuff going on this website that even getting ready for the podcast, I wasn't really able to kind of take in everything, if you will. So you guys are just gonna have to go check it out yourself. Once again, they are not out of Minnesota, they're actually out of Washington, but definitely go check them out. jonessoda.com. you can find them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. But before we let you go from this segment, yeah, I thought maybe the more I drank it and the more I sipped it, there'd be a little more taste that comes into it. And there's not. Like I said, I appreciate you guys reaching out and giving me this suggestion. One of my least favorites, unfortunately. But like I said, keep them coming. We're going to go. We're going to go with a 3.5. 3.5. And I'm pretty sure the lowest we've gone so far, so on the podcast. So yes, 3.5. So with that, Moving right along. So, as far as Tommy Town is concerned, we don't have really a ton to go over. We do have two accolades to bring up. So, both of these accolades were announced back on Tuesday, the 26th. But graduate student Parker Bjorklund landed a spot on the CSC Academic All-District team. That is the College Sports Communicators team. And Bjorklund is a graduate student, like I mentioned, who's majoring in digital experience. He finished this last season as the All-Summit League second team selection and was named to the CSC Academic All-District team at the end of last season as well. So this will be his second straight year. He led all Tommies with 13.2 points per game, which ranked 13th in Summit League play this year. And he also ranked third in the league, shooting 47.2% overall, 18th with 4.6 rebounds per game, and 18th as well with 0.8 steals per game. So just to give you guys a little bit of background, to be considered for this team, nominees must meet the following criteria. Must be a sophomore academically and athletically with at least a 3.5 cumulative GPA. Nominated athletes must complete 90% of institutions' games contests played or must start in at least 66% of the games or contests. So huge congratulations to him making it from the men's team. And then on the same day, fellow Tommy Jade Hill found herself on the CSC Academic All District team as well. The elementary education major received her second straight CSC All Academic team as well, which is huge for her. She was also a second team All Summit League selection. This last year, Hill put together her best season with the Tommies, starting all 31 games and averaging 13.2 points per game, ranking top 5 in the conference in total minutes per game, assists per game, steals per game, and assist turnover ratio, and concluded the year with a team leading 132 assists. 152 assists and 58 steals. Additionally, she eclipsed several milestones this last season, becoming the first women's basketball player in the D1 era to score 1,000 points in a Tommy uniform. Excuse me, and she currently ranks ninth all time with 1,128 career points and fourth in career assists with 338 points. So, needless to say, a huge congratulations to her. The last thing worth noting, like I mentioned with Bjorklund, the elementary education major Jade Hill's academic accomplishments were just as impressive this last year as her athletic accomplishments, as she owns a cumulative grade point average of 3.78 on the 4-point scale. So yes, just a huge accomplishment for both Jade Hill and Parker Bjorklund. Hopefully, pending transfer portal stuff, Jade Hill should be back, as she's only a junior this year. Parker Bjorklund is unfortunately going to be gone after this year as he was a graduate student. So that is all the news we have for you guys for Tommy Town. Getting into kind of college sports as a whole before we excuse me, before we get into the professional sports realm, is this last Sunday, the 24th, the women's men's hockey tournament concluded with Ohio State winning the 2024 national championship. Excuse me, is their second total in team history, and actually their second in the last 3 years, as they won back. They beat Minnesota Duluth back in 2022. Unfortunately, lost last year to Wisconsin. And then, beat Wisconsin in the second meeting, straight meeting, for their second. So, a huge congratulations to them, on their accomplishment, hopefully. And, I mean, if this doesn't tell you something about the St. Thomas team, I don't know what does. You, for, what is it, since 2001, there have been, Wisconsin has 7 titles, Minnesota has 6, UMD has 5, and Ohio State has 2, and Clarkson has 3. Only Clarkson is the only WCHA team that has won a national championship that is not in the WCHA. That means, what is that? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. And it's 23-year history. 20 of those national championships were won by WCHA teams. So I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be next year, but once this women's hockey team is able to kind of break through the mold, and I'm not saying they need to dominate these teams, but steal a game here and there, compete with them, play with them, is going to be a good time for them, as once they're able to kind of get over that hump, they're going to be just in the running, just as much in the running as these other teams. So super excited for them. That is all we have there. And then for
bear with me tonight. We're not going to keep you guys here too long. But yes, dealing with some, now that it's getting sunny back out again, I'm dealing with some allergy kind of backed upness. So, so with that, for the flight to the Frozen Four, that got underway today. The first 4 matchups are now in the books. Denver at 1 o'clock today took care of UMass, 2-1 in double overtime fashion. Cornell dispatched of Maine, what was that? I think 4:30 game. Yeah, 4:30 game. 4:30 game. Then after that, Boston University took care of RIT 6-3. And then in the nightcap, our beloved Minnesota Gophers came back from 0-1 and 2-1 deficits to beat Omaha 3-2, as they will have a matchup with BU on Saturday at 5:30. And right before them will be Denver and Cornell. So should the Gophers win on Saturday, they would face the winner of the Denver-Cornell game in the semifinals to try to get back to that coveted championship game. And then for the, what you would call the west side of the bracket, they get underway tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. Boston College and Michigan Tech will face off. 4 o'clock will be Michigan State and Western Michigan. 5:30 will be Wisconsin and Quinnipiac, and then at 7:30 p.m., North Dakota and Michigan will square off for the final game of the round of 16
have you. So, yeah. And then as far as March Madness is concerned, not a whole lot to kind of go over. The coming at you guys, we're doing this podcast right after Alabama upset the Tar Heels, unfortunately, one of my teams I love rooting for in March Madness. And we're still waiting on the finalization of the Iowa State Illinois game before we are halfway through the Sweet 16. Also trying to find our winner for the 2024 March Madness champion. So with that, yeah, let's just get right into it. We had a couple of questions from you guys, and we're going to answer those. Before we get too much into that, I know we said we're not going to, you know, we're kind of sticking with our main sports here. But when, you know, a new season kind of comes up, we do want to shout out our beloved team. So today kicked off the opening day of the opening day of the MLB. Our Minnesota Twins got things rolling today in Kansas City, Missouri, beating the Kansas City Royals 4-2-1. Royce Lewis getting the fun going. Getting a solo home run in his first at-bat of the season. Yeah, that was huge. Pablo Lopez picked up the win for us in 7 innings pitched, allowed 4 hits, and 1 earned run, while striking out 7 batters. So, you know, huge, big win, and, you know, obviously a great way to start off the season on a positive winning note. But once again, 161 games to go. Gonna have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, best of luck to our Minnesota Twins, and hopefully they can repeat as division champs and even make a little bit of a deeper run on this upcoming October. Looking into it for you guys, because Jackson actually asked, "What are your opinions on the Twins?" I'm guessing you're asking what I think is gonna happen. As of right now, they're the favorites to win the AL champion, the AL Central again, American League Central Division, and it looks like a lot of that is attributed to them not losing much of that team, and some of these young guys kind of getting older, better, all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, I think part of that has to do with that. It's 50-50 that, and the other 50% of, you know, Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City, Chicago, you know, those four teams. I don't think they're supposed to be that good this year again. So a little bit of both. And truthfully, if everything goes well for them, Jackson, they should be right there, you know, fighting for a spot in the American League championship game and potentially, you know, being a pennant favorite. I mean, I think you look at the American or the National League, and they're very top heavy with the, you know, the likes of the Dodgers and the Braves and all those teams. But I think if you look at the American League, it's pretty wide open. So, and anybody's ball game, you know, hopefully this stupid injury, Royce took care of. Royce got running the bases after his home run later in the game. I mean, hopefully it's not a serious injury and we can get him back. He doesn't have to miss significant time, and we can, we can build from that. As for the Wild, ouch, sorry about that. I'm just gonna be completely honest with you guys. Emily wants to know, Jack, do you believe the Wild are going to make the playoffs, yes or no? Emily, I'm gonna shoot straight with you guys here. I know they got, I'm just gonna cut straight to the chase and then we will get into it. No, I don't. And truthfully, I think that's the right mindset to have with the Wild here. Because if by some miracle it happens and they get in, it's, oh my gosh, what a surprise. Rather than, yeah, we're going to make it. Oh my gosh, what happened? They got a solid win 3-1 earlier tonight against the San Jose Sharks. But I mean, in their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, that's only our second. Win in our last 5 games. And I know some people may be saying, Jack, you know, it's not that bad. It's bad. I mean, we're on the outside. The reality is, we're on the outside looking in here. You know, 72 games, 10 games left. We're 8 points out from the Los Angeles Kings. With the number 2 wild card spot, and the Blues are currently ahead of us by 3 points, you know, allowing St. Louis to beat us twice in a 3 or 4 game span, where we are only picking up 1 point by, you know, overtime shootout, is just ridiculous. And then, you know, the Los Angeles Kings are a very good team, and we laid a goose egg against them just a couple of days ago, so I don't see it happening at this point. I'm not saying call off the dogs and start taking guys out. I think at this point, the Wild need to cut their losses and start preparing for next season. Mind you, next year is the last year that Bill Guerin is tied down from all of this money being still paid out to stupid Parisian suitor. But yeah, because Emily, and for those other, everybody out there that's curious, the bottom line is this: for us to have any chance to win out or to make the playoffs, we essentially need to win out. Okay, we got Vegas twice. Our next game is actually Vegas on Saturday. Then we go to Vegas. In my mind, both of those games, with them being in the spot we want to overtake, we need to not only beat them, but we need to beat them both in regulation. Okay, and then, you know, we still have a game against Los Angeles and Seattle, who are both fighting for those spots too, which we would probably both need to beat them in regulation. Outside of those 4 games, winning in overtime or regulation doesn't really matter. But the fact of the matter is, this team needs, I mean, like I said, 10 games left, there's 20 total points. And, you know, being 8 out, you can't rely on these teams to lose. You have to go out and get every single point. And at this point, even if you get all those points, they'll finish with 99 points. Right now, Nashville, in the first wild card spots, already at 90. The Kings already have 87. So I think if you're the Minnesota Wild, yeah, sure, you're not mathematically eliminated yet. You can't be watching the scoreboards and making sure guys are losing. Like, you need to go out and win a game at a time. Like, they, if they want any chance to pull off the impossible, they need to start off by beating Vegas, you know, in regulation on Saturday. In the midst of their, 6 game homestand. Hope to go from there. Excuse me. As for the Timberwolves, man, honestly, right now, they are my favorite team to watch. When they're playing together as a team, I mean, it's been a while since they've played Boston.
and Milwaukee. But man, when this team is, I mean, even without Cat, when this team is going at it and playing together, playing selfless basketball, I don't think there's a team in this league that we can't beat. There really isn't. And the fact of the matter is, we're not going to get too much into it because we will have, in about a week or so, 2 weeks, we're going to have a playoff preview kind of podcast for you guys here. But yeah, this team, for those that are curious, this team is right in the thick of things for potentially getting that number one seed. You know, it's going to be a dogfight, and just like the Wolves, or just like the Wild, every game down the stretch here is going to matter. We got a big game tomorrow night against the Denver Nuggets. Then we play them another time in the next couple nights. But once again, you know, the Timberwolves just need to continue to do their thing. I think with Oklahoma losing earlier tonight and with them losing earlier tonight, if we beat Denver tomorrow night, we will be back in the number one spot. So all they need to do is keep winning and, you know, good things will happen. So yeah, and truthfully, looking at it, you know, looking at these play-in teams, you know, Phoenix, Sacramento, LA, Golden State, as of right now, none of them really scare me. And it should be a fun and long playoff run for the Wolves. So yeah, lastly, not a whole lot to speculate on. I know I've been putting out some content on what I think we'll do in the draft, all that kind of stuff. We talked a little bit about it last week and 2 weeks ago, so I don't want to kind of sound like a broken record. But we'll answer one more question here. Felix wants to know, Jack, what is your take on these two big recent NFL rule changes for the upcoming season? And for those that don't know, the first one is obviously, or I should say obviously, the first one is the NFL is changing the kickoff rule, where it's going to be set up essentially like the XFL. So the kicker and the kick returner will be far away from each other. Everybody else will be 5 yards away from each other, but nobody can move other than the returner and the kicker until the kick returner has already touched the ball. This is supposed to crack down on injuries out on the kickoff and stuff like that. Then the other big one is they're getting rid of the hip drop tackle. And truthfully, I'm kind of indifferent about the kickoff rule. I get it. You know, the NFL is trying to make the game more engaging. It makes it less fun now because with these rule changes, if you're going to do an onside kick, you need to let the refs know ahead of time. So with this recent change, there will be no surprise onside kicks ever again, which I think is kind of bogus. But at the end of the day, you know, nobody's really trying onside kicks unless they're needing it. And usually when it happens, other teams know when to expect it. So truthfully, kind of indifferent, don't really care. You know, just kind of want to see what comes of it. But the other one, the hip drop, I think it's stupid. I've seen this last weekend about a dozen of defensive players, you know, tweeting at the NFL saying, you know, what the hell, you know, how do you want us to tackle? You know, let's get the flags out for flag football. And even One guy, I can't remember who was who, but even one guy was like, hey, NFL, why don't you send every defensive coordinator a video of how you would like us to tackle? And truthfully, I'm just as up in arms as these defensive players are. I understand the NFL wanting to make it a safe game. There have been some serious injuries the last couple of years. I get it. At the same time, like, this is a violent game. Like, if the NFL doesn't want it to be violent, why is it tackle football? Like, flag football is stupid. Flag football is something I can play. I don't want to watch grown men play flag football. I don't think that's a way to make a living. I think that's stupid. I think the NFL has to figure this shit out. Hopefully they can change it. But yeah, I mean, at this point, there's not a ton of different ways you can tackle a guy now without getting penalized. And I feel for these guys. I'm in the minority side of things when I say, I think when I watch football, I just as much care about the defensive side of the ball as I do the offensive side of the ball. Like, who doesn't want to see huge, you know, plays on offense and stuff like that? But being an, like, I didn't play, you know, varsity, but being an old football player, like, I used to play on both sides of the ball like everybody else did growing up who played football. And, you know, there's something badass about, you know, getting a big defensive stop and shit like that. And it just, it seems like the NFL is trying to make these games more high scoring. And yeah, I see why they want to do that. But it's like, look, if you have a good offense, you're going to be putting up 30, 40 points anyways. Why do you have to put all these restrictions on defensive players? So great, great question, Felix. Short answer, I think the hip drop tackle is, the rule is bogus, and is bullshit. Kickoff, I could care less about. With that, before we let you guys go for the night, we want to, from everybody here at the mini weekend, we want to wish everybody a very happy and a very safe Easter. Have a nice weekend, and hope everybody enjoys themselves and some time with their families. So with that, I will remind you that, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at miniweekend. And email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's miniweekend@gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where you can stay, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.